Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, Scott has inside jokes with people he's never even met.
What will Joe Castiglione do? I don't know if he knows. Maybe our guest does. She's outstanding columnist for The Oklahoman. Jenny Carlson, welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show.
I don't know. I wish I could tell you, Scott, because that would mean we'd have this coaching search behind us. But here we sit, still waiting.
You know, Jenny, the last time we spoke, I didn't want to come out and say you might want to, you know, check your drinking and all that because you've had a year. But now, God bless you, you've had a year out there. You've had a few things go down in Oklahoma.
It's not even over. You know, this week we knew we were going to be busy because Oklahoma State made the Big 12 championship game for the first time ever. Going after a conference championship would be their first in 10 years. Maybe a spot in the college football playoff, blah, 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 blah. And now, oh, by the way, we've got that big story and a second big story all at the same time. So, yeah, this was unexpected. You and I traded some messages about the LSU thing, and I always thought that seemed unlikely, just because, you know, why leave one premier SEC school for a soon-to-be premier SEC school, a place where you are kind of a made man if you're Lincoln Riley. But I didn't see USC as a possibility, so it really blindsided a lot of people, including people at OU that write Lincoln Riley's checks or bank drafts or however they do that kind of money nowadays. But it was very much out of the blue for I think a vast, vast, vast majority of people around here.
Jenny, I don't want to say anybody lied, but I find it hard to believe that Southern Cal fired its coach week two and just out of the blue decided they wanted to pursue Lincoln Riley this past weekend. And correct me if I'm wrong, he said he found out about interest late Saturday night and the deal basically came together in about 16 hours. How much of that are you buying? Can you kind of tell me if I'm wrong about any of that? Is any of it you know for a fact the truth?
I would say that's largely semantics. I'm with you. I don't think it comes together that fast, but there's every chance in the world Lincoln Riley didn't actually personally speak to anybody from USC until this past weekend. Now, that doesn't mean people representing Lincoln Riley weren't talking to USC people for the last 2 months. I think that's entirely possible. And, you know, to me, that's got to be what happened, because you don't have this level of move done that quickly. You just don't. I mean, it's not something that, you know, if Lincoln Riley gets that call and walks in to talk to his wife, like, just think about just interpersonally, like people closest to him that, you know, would have to, you have to wrap your brain around that. So this was not a situation where anybody in the Riley family or any of those, assistant coaches, I don't know how far down the line it went. I have to think at least one or two of those assistants knew what was potentially happening. But I can't say that they all knew. That seems like a good way for stuff to get out into the public. Somebody saying something. So, but did Lincoln Riley talk to anybody from USC before Saturday? Maybe not. I mean, I think that could be possible, but that's not to say he didn't have somebody talking to them for him, and he's getting all the news and essentially communicating with USC through an agent, through representation. All of that makes a ton of sense to me.
Before we go forward, let's go ahead and look back one more time at Lincoln Riley before we talk about the next possible head coach at Oklahoma. How good of a fit is this for Lincoln? Knowing what you know about Southern Cal, the Southern Cal program, lifestyle in that part of the country, how does it align with Lincoln Riley? How does it align with his family?
Well, I mean, I think on a somewhat personal level, it feels a little bit weird to me. I mean, I think Riley made some comment out there earlier this week about how it was a fit or something like that for his family. I mean, Lincoln Riley is from Muleshoe, Texas, and You don't have to have ever been to Mule Shoe, Texas to have an idea of what it's like. Just the name Mule Shoe, Texas probably paints a fairly accurate picture for people of what Mule Shoe, Texas is actually like. I mean, this is a guy that was a small town Texas, you know, a high school football player, goes to Texas Tech. Lubbock is not some sort of extravagant, you know, metropolitan place. Then he bounces around, and before he's in Norman at OU, he's at East Carolina, which, again, not we're not talking metropolitan places here. Lincoln Riley does not strike me as some, you know, la-la land, you know, obvious personality. So I don't know if I buy sort of the culture fit in that regard, but I think in terms of the Pac-12 and what USC can be, I think it does fit, because right now the Pac-12 is clearly, you know, at the bottom of the Power Five pecking order. Maybe not quite at the bottom, but it's close. It definitely is in the conversation. And, you know, it's definitely right for the picking for somebody to come along and establish themselves as the power in the Pac-12 right now. And if USC does that, they've got a pretty clear path to the playoff, whether it stays at four teams or expands, because with their brand and with the chance that, you know, if Lincoln Riley brings in the kind of offensive weaponry that we've seen him be able to bring to Oklahoma, you got to think they're just going to score a ton of points in the Pac-12, and people are going to go gaga over that when it comes to selecting for the playoff. So the path with the style of football that he likes to play, has been successful playing at Oklahoma, makes a lot of sense in the Pac-12 with USC. Now, do I think it makes a ton of sense thinking Lincoln Riley is going to be, you know, perfectly happy in Los Angeles as a person? I don't know. But if you're making that much money and win a lot of football games, it makes for a lot of that stuff.
Jenny, I lied. I've got one more question looking back. How much how much do you think moving to the SEC actually factored into this? They keep playing it, downplaying it. No, it didn't have anything to do with it. But the timing's just odd, Jenny. Maybe I'm just a skeptic.
Well, I think there has to be some part of that is in the equation. I mean, what I just said in terms of, you know, how it could go at USC. Now, I'm not saying it's an automatic. You know, I mean, they've obviously brought in a lot of coaches since Pete Carroll was there, and they haven't been able to do what everybody assumes Lincoln Riley's going to be able to do. Maybe he does it. And if he does, there's a fairly clear, obvious path to the playoffs. Now, and if you're in the SEC, regardless if you're at OU or Alabama or Georgia or LSU or anywhere else that's, you know, had a longstanding, you know, a tradition of success, getting to the playoff in the SEC is difficult. It's much more difficult than any other conference in the country. It just is. I mean, we've seen it. So I think that in that regard, there has to be some of that. And I'm not saying it's necessarily that Oklahoma wasn't focused on trying to upgrade or do things to get football better positioned to make the move in terms of, you know, what they have in facilities, what they have in terms of staff and support and all that sort of thing. I think that was already happening. I know it was already happening. They've already been to several SEC campuses to see what's there, to ask questions, to do their own internal review of what they have and what they need. So those steps are already afoot. But even if you got all the stuff, I mean, look at Ed Orgeron. He won a championship less than 2 years ago, and he's already out of a job. LSU's got all the stuff. They've got everything that they would need because they've shown they can win a championship there, and it's still difficult to win them in the SEC. So I think that has to be part of the calculus for Lincoln Riley.
We're joined by Jenny Carlson, the Oklahoman. Follow her on Twitter at @JennyCarlson_OK. Jenny, I'm Joe Castiglione. I've got to make the biggest decision perhaps of my entire career, because at least when Stoops stepped back, Lincoln Riley was next man up, and he had the godfather, Bob Stoops' blessing. Who's Oklahoma's first choice? Is it Bob Stoops? Are they going to bring him back?
No, I think that they did ask, it sounds like, if he was interested, because other schools have been interested. I mean, I think if other schools think Bob Stoops is a frontline candidate, why wouldn't Oklahoma at least ask him? But no, you know, unless he was really blowing smoke and they were blowing smoke about it, I don't see that happening. I think Bob Stoops is content with being retired. I think the game of college football has largely turned into a younger coach's sport. And, you know, it's an entirely different landscape than when Bob Stoops, really got into coaching, and especially those first, say, 5 or 10 years, even maybe 15 years of his time at Oklahoma, you know, with NIL and the transfer portal and all of the things that are now, you know, involved. Would he like to, on Saturdays, go up against the SEC for 9 or 10 weeks out of the season? I think he would relish that. It's the other, 355 days of the year that I'm not sure he wants to mess with being a head coach in the college football world. So, no, I don't think it'll be Bob Stoops. Over the years, Oklahoma has largely, and this isn't just with Joe C. at the helm, this has been historically over many decades, Oklahoma has almost exclusively hired assistant coaches to become the head coach of Oklahoma. The last exception to that rule was Howard Schnellenberger, and he was a total flame out at Oklahoma. Lasted 1 year, total disaster, didn't work at all. So I don't necessarily think that if Oklahoma hires a sitting head coach right now, that it would necessarily be as bad as Howard Schnellenberger. I don't think Joe Castiglione is going to hire a Howard Schnellenberger, but if they go the assistant route, to me, the two guys that are most obvious, Brent Venables, he has clearly roots in the program, in the Bob Stoops era. He was the defensive coordinator along with Mike Stoops for years, was there for the national championship in 2000, widely respected, great energy at Clemson. So you know he knows how to get players, retain players, build great defenses, which you're going to have in the SEC. So I think he's an obvious candidate. They have to be looking at him. And then I think Dan Lanning, the defensive coordinator at Georgia, he's only 35 years old. Obviously, everybody knows what's going on at Georgia. So to me, those are two guys on the assistance train you would have to look at. And then I think when it comes to head coaches, you know, I think some of these names that we've seen floated for every head coaching job out there, I think are interesting. Well, maybe not every head coach, but I don't think they're hiring Lane Kiffin at OU. I'll put that out there. But, guys like Matt Campbell at Iowa State, Dave Aranda at Baylor, Shane Beamer, who has Oklahoma connections, he was here before he got the head coaching job at South Carolina. I think he's an interesting candidate that might be more likely than some people think. He's a really young, energetic. I know that Joe Castiglione loved having Shane Beamer in Norman. So he's only been at South Carolina a year. He's got South Carolina connections. Beamer does. So I don't know if he would leave. But if you get a chance to coach one of the blue bloods in college football, I'm not sure how long you've been at your school really, really matters. So those to me are the names that I think are most likely. Could it be somebody else? Absolutely. We didn't know who Lincoln Riley was. The college football world really didn't know who Lincoln Riley was when Bob Stoops hired him as his offensive coordinator 7 years ago. Then he became, one of the, if not the hottest name in college football for the last 5 years. We thought he was going to get an NFL job before he took a job at another college program. So, you never know, but Joe Castiglione hiring football coaches, head football coaches, his track record is Bob Stoops and Lincoln Riley, and those have been two pretty good head coaches for the Oklahoma Sooners.
Jenny, you mentioned Schnellenberger. I'm going to get off track for a minute. Didn't his tenure there end because, like, he was running around naked or something in his office?
There's all sorts of crazy stories about Schnellenberger. Yeah, he was, I think, to me, and I wasn't here during the Schnellenberger days, but that my suspicion is that there may have been some attempt to try to rekindle those Barry Switzer swagger, sort of wearing the Beat Texas hats and smoking on the sidelines, that sort of feel with Oklahoma football. And it just didn't work. It didn't work at all. So, even these other assistants that have been hired, we're talking about sort of the big names, but, even guys that weren't maybe home run hires that were, just RBI hit sort of thing were good hires as assistants. So, I don't know what Joe Castiglione is going to do. I think my suspicion is I bet it's something that happens within the next, say, 72 hours or so. I just think there's so many moving parts right now with recruits decommitting, guys going in the portal. The one that I player-wise that I feel like is the linchpin. Sorry, you asked about Howard Schnellenberger, and then here I go on recruits. But I think the guy that is most central player-wise to what happened is Caleb Williams, obviously the quarterback, the freshman quarterback who took over mid-year for Oklahoma. He has said he wants to wait and see what the hire is. So if he stays, you may see some of these guys that have gone into the portal. You may see some of these guys that have dropped off as commits. You may see him look again at Oklahoma, because Caleb Williams is an unbelievable talent. And guys will go where Caleb Williams goes, I think. So, or they will go as he goes. So to me, you said earlier, Scott, the importance of this hire. To me, the getting this hire right and being able to steady what has been a very unsteady week for Oklahoma football is vastly important, because it's not just for the here and now, but you don't want to go into the SEC with things teetering. You don't want to have a rough couple years in the SEC and that happen. We've seen what can happen to programs that are among the best brands in college football. We've seen Nebraska go sideways. We've seen USC go sideways. You know, we've seen some of these teams that you would think they're never going away. They have evaporated into the background. So Oklahoma does not want that to happen. And so what you said a minute ago about the importance of this hire is absolutely the truth. They have to get this right, but there's every reason to believe, again, from Joe Castiglione's track record, that he will get this right.
And, Jenny, I'm going to put a perfect book into this conversation by bringing this up to you. I mentioned it last hour. I'd like to get your take on it. I'm of the mind that there's no such thing as a destination job anymore. Once upon a time, Lincoln Riley going to Southern Cal could have been him saying he was going to a destination job if he wasn't coming from Oklahoma. Oklahoma would have been deemed as a destination job, Michigan, Nebraska, so on and so forth. But given the money that's out there now, I don't think that's the case. If you're a head coach, the brass ring is no longer saying, you know what, the pinnacle of my profession is going to be coaching at Nebraska just because that's the best program. I think it's different now. I think you can go somewhere, get the perfect fit, and get paid stupid money, as Mark Richt told us. Do you like the phrase lifestyle job? Not destination job, lifestyle job.
Yeah, and I think you know, it does look different today. I mean, because of, like you say, the salaries. But then it's also about, you know, what are the different programs, what are the different athletic departments willing to put into their program? Are they willing to, you know, line the hallways with offices and people doing, you know, all sorts of different things? To me, that, you know, you go onto these websites of the schools and you look at football staff, and it used to be the head coach, all the assistants, you might have one or two support personnel listed. Now you can scroll for pages and pages in some of these schools with analysts and video coordinators and graphic artists, and it's, you know, recruiting this and doing that. And it's just mind-boggling the amount of staff that some of these schools have, you know, built up, and you know, how that looks for, you know, yeah, the lifestyle of the head coach. What is he doing? I mean, I'm not saying that to say that the head coaches at those programs aren't doing a lot of work, but if you can get staff that will do, you know, whatever it is that maybe is down your list of favorites. You know, if Lincoln Riley says, I'm going to dedicate, you know, 70% of my time to game planning and recruiting offensive players, I need the rest of my time not as dedicated to other things. You know, if he can get the staff that then fills in the gaps and he gets to do what makes him happy, and that really translates across the board, I think that's absolutely true. And the money is just, that's the thing. The money that's out there that allows coaches to tailor make situations in addition to the money they're taking home, yeah, it really can be. And you would think that guys would be locked in to, you know, I think that we wrongly assumed around here, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, Lincoln Riley is at East Carolina trying to figure out how to beat Tulane and Tulsa, and Oklahoma gives him the chance of a lifetime. They hand him Baker Mayfield, and they go and win Heisman trophies. They go to the playoffs. Then a couple years later, they hand him the keys to the whole darn thing, and you think, you know, that has got to be the breeding of the greatest loyalty of all time. you just have to think there's no way he walks away from the people that gave him that opportunity. And he did. He did. And that's the thing. There's nothing that is sacred. There's no golden calf anymore. You know, people just can make things what they want with the money that's out there. So that's a long-winded answer for your question, Scott, but I think that the money has changed everything and makes what, you know, would be seen as a destination or a forever job. It just changes that equation so much. It just looks vastly different than it ever did.
In the space of one segment, we were able to talk about a naked Howard Schnellenberger and golden calves. So that's
I haven't had enough coffee to think about naked Howard Schnellenberger today. Let me tell you that.
You should be like tracking private jets and stuff right now. That's what you need to be doing. It's
that's
a coaching search.
That's on my to-do list, believe me.
She's Jenny Carlson of the Oklahoman. Follow her on Twitter right now at @JennyCarlson_OK. Jenny, as always, absolute pleasure. You're the best of the best. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Scott. Talk to you later.
All right, it's Jenny Carlson joining us on the Saitama Hotline.